magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, January 30th, 2017, reading from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that? I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be. And that was a reading in loving tribute to Dan R. White, as that was handed out during his homegoing celebration on Saturday and during the visitation on Friday night. Many of you that were tuned in for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends heard us reference Dan's passing and his welcoming into the heavenlies as he was a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we just thank God for Dan and Cindy and the family that live on and live on the legacy that he left, finishing well, loving the Lord, and enthusiastically desiring people to know him. So, Marianne, thank you for joining me for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. And I think what I'm going to do, I even wrote out the 9 or 8 topics that
I
want to cover. Maybe you'll highlight them, and then I'm going to change and shift our focus in just a minute. So these are things that we may get to address today, and we'll see how it all comes together.
Well, this is a list that would probably take us three programs to cover.
So,
first of all, I just want to say something. You know, I didn't know Dan White, and this reminds me so much that I'll get to meet so many people that I didn't get to meet here in the future. And I just hope everybody can be blessed by that thought.
Well, another thing that I learned through participating in the memorial service, Cindy White, Dan's wife, asked me to share some remarks. There was a couple other people that presented. And I just thought the brevity of life, and you just never know when your time
That's
is going to come. And are you living it to the fullest? And will there be regrets if today was the last day of your life? And, you know, you always get those type of impressions when you sit through a service thinking, wow, nobody would have thought that Dan, you know, in his early 60s, his last days were upon us.
Yeah, I'm just pleased I will get to meet him in the future.
Yeah, you'll like him.
Thank you. Well, you've got listed here that we're going to talk about the Israel group and the Israel trip.
Yeah.
That's a big subject. The wellness workshop classes and how we're rethinking and organizing those, that's a huge subject. The Huntley Brown concert.
Yep, the date change. I'll have to address that soon.
Yep. Ivan Parker concert. I'm very excited about that.
Right here at Lincoln Square.
That'll be fun. The Collingsworth family possible concert we're working on.
Yeah, that's going to happen December 1st, a special Christmas concert, and we're still working out the details. I'll have lots more to say if we can get to that. So stay with us for the next 20 or so minutes.
You've always got lots to say. The January Giving 2020 campaign, which is coming right up to the end here.
Two more days to be a part of that. You've got to think that through.
Really just today and tomorrow, right?
Yep, two more days. Well, today and tomorrow.
Yeah. And the Tootsie Roll Banks, why is that on the list?
We're giving those away.
Oh, well,
so if they come by the center anytime between 10 and 5, we can give them a Tootsie Roll Bank, and that bank you could maybe save up for Great News Radio with it.
You could eat
those Tootsie Rolls.
Tootsie Rolls. And I keep saying we can't put Wellness Workshop and Tootsie Rolls on the same list, but that's okay. I love Tootsie Rolls, and I saw that many are already gone.
Yes, yes.
That was a huge, huge pile.
Yeah, we still have a lot, though.
Yeah, we do.
A lot to give away.
We do, we do. And you wanted to talk to people about the new unit possibilities.
We'll see if that'll come together. But I'm going to begin in just a minute with you doing a reading, because what tends to happen is there's so much to say, and then we try to fit in a 9 or 10 minute reading from your book, Memories of an African Son.
Oh.
And so in just a minute, we're going to have you read maybe a chapter.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That way I know at least we got that in before all these announcements, even though I think the announcements are all important.
Oh, they are.
Or valid or interesting or informative or something that you need to know. But let me read. I got to share during Dan's homegoing, and you always start with an outline, and then you ad-lib, or at least I did.
So that's how you do.
I'm going to keep to my notes.
Oh.
Many of you knew Dan White from his many years singing with the Singing Men of GNN, I think 5 or so years. He was on 6 different trips to Israel.
Wow.
He and Cindy were inseparable. So if you saw one, you saw the other.
Nice.
And so a lot of our listeners, they attended a lot of radio events, Israel nights, station gatherings. I mean, they were just a part of this ministry for many years, supported it.
Mm.
And so for those of you that may not have been able to attend the memorial service on Saturday, it was held at Vineyard Church. And there was a few other presenters, Bruce Hendrickson, who had known Dan and the family for many years. He kind of opened up and gave an overview and a reading of the obituary, and a lot of great songs and music. They had the words on the screen, and you know, Carrie Joby, Matt Redman, some other very popular songs that everyone would know forever, A Thousand Reasons, I Am Not Alone. And then I shared, and then Pastor Joyce Gibson. We were all on a trip to Israel together, and she had pastored Dan and Cindy for some years there in Fisher, Illinois. And then there was like a video, Cry Out to Jesus, Third Day, some more songs. And then Dave Clark, somebody that worked with Dan for, 15 or so years, especially up in Chicago for a 2-year project where they were building some roads or bridges, doing a lot of structural work in Chicago. He gave really a powerful testimony to who Dan was and working alongside him.
It says a lot when the person you've worked with that many years has that many positive
things.
Oh,
and he got us all choked up. It was hard, when somebody shares from the heart.
Yeah.
And then some more songs, and then Joyce Gibson kind of closed out in prayer with an altar call. Cindy was very intentional on wanting people to know that Dan followed the Lord Jesus Christ, and they could too. And
that's wonderful.
Shared one of those prayers to accept Jesus or to begin following him or to rededicate yourself to him. So it was a wonderful homegoing, if you will. I mean, we can sit through those knowing that we'll see Dan again, but I'll just read. This is probably 4 or 5 minutes of my remarks, and may it be a blessing to all of us with the realization that we have some loved ones, some friends that are with the Lord that we'll see again, or determined today to begin praying for those friends or loved ones that don't know the Lord, because we want the ending of their life to be a happy moment, knowing that they are in the loving arms with no more pain or suffering and with God.
Yes.
I knew Dan White mostly from trips to Israel, singing with the Singing Men of GNN, and he and Cindy attending many varied radio events, or from their various correspondence to the station, as they've supported the ministry of Great News Radio for many years. Dan traveled with me to Israel 5 to 6 times, I think, and Cindy 4. Now, lest you think, why did Dan, who loves Cindy very much, leave her behind twice? Well, these 2 additional trips that Dan was on were all men's trips. But I do remember Cindy saying she'd be happy to carry the luggage and chaperone on the men's trips if she could. In fact, on the last all-men's trips we took, and Dan was a part of it, while at O'Hare getting ready to board our plane for Israel, we received a call that Cindy was not feeling well and to be praying for her. I remember Dan instantly organizing some in our group, and we stopped right there and prayed. We arrived to Israel, and during our second day there, we learned that Cindy's health was not improving, so Dan decided to return home that night, packing up and departing back to the U.S. Dan and Cindy were made for each other. Yes, different and opposite in many ways. Of course, that's very true in how God often works it with couples. But they would laugh and goof off and were so silly together, it was a sight to see. Dan was also able to get that guttural, funny sound out of Cindy that would lighten up the room and certainly wake up anyone half asleep. And actually, if you knew Cindy White, she would laugh from deep within herself, and it would come out loud.
That's grand.
And Dan always brought that out of her. That was just a favorite thing for most of us to see. Dan had a way of being a noticeable presence wherever he was, not just because of his size, but his often easygoing, fun-loving personality. And many that commented about Dan during the memorial service, like Dan liked to eat. And so there was all fun jokes about the food. And if you saw somebody at a table and there was like a couple desserts left over, are you going to eat those or not? Send them my way. Anyways, Dan had that fun-loving personality, whether it was during Singing Men rehearsals and performances. I think Dan sang with us for about 5 years, or just hanging out. Dan found a way to interject a pithy comment, share a joke, or say something, if you will, to spice up the conversation. can I get a testimony? And I think everyone could think of something that Dan had said that was funny or lighthearted or just really creative.
Oh, that's good.
In fact, one of my favorite Danisms.
Danisms.
And that's what I called it.
That's
you
great.
Know, besides his one son, Josh. Dan had a thing, if you look at me, he had his hands, he'd go like, ha, ah, ha, and his hands would, it's like you're all wound up, ha, ah, come on.
I'm sorry you guys can't all see this.
Yeah, but
you need a visual.
His son does that now, and so that legacy lives on through his son, Josh. But one of my other favorite Danisms was while in Israel, and I couldn't remember all the specifics around why or how he started it, but I did find out after I shared the testimony. One of the guys, Mr. Potato Salad, Ron Fernald, said,
Potato
I know exactly. Yeah, Ron Fernald. It was great.
I love potato salad.
Oh, he makes the world's greatest.
Okay, I want
to meet
him. At
least according to me. And Holly's very close to replicating
Excellent.
It. So anyways, but he told me where it all began. But what Dan would do and what we did throughout the trip, and I've done it to this day, he had an expression, and you would have to remember it now that I remember exactly where the origin of the thing, but he would go, just walk away. Now,
oh,
Dan
dear.
Was this big guy. Yeah, yeah.
What's it mean?
No, well, in this circumstance, it was forceful.
Uh-huh.
But he would say, just walk away. So we would say it in line if somebody was in front of you, just walk away. Basically, you're saying, get away from me or give me some space.
Oh.
But we used it throughout, and Dan had that deep bass voice. So, just walk away. Anyways, as I shared that example, and I said, I don't know the origin of it, but it's a classic memory of Dan, and I think about it and just delight when I think about it because of his deep voice. But it happened because Eitan, our Israeli guide, you know, he would be doing a talk or a teaching somewhere, and these vendors would come upon us all the time, you know, 10 t-shirts for,
right,
you know, $20, 10 ball caps for this, and they would kind of hover around generally and stay in the wings till the teaching was done and then approach us, kind of swarm on us. Well, there's this one situation where the vendor, like in the middle of Eitan, our guide, speaking, he kept kind of walking in front of people and talking, and Dan finally was getting bugged by this, and he walked up to the guy, and Dan's a big guy, and
yeah.
he just went up, just walk away. and then Ron was telling me, it didn't stop there. Then he looked at the guy and says, do you understand English? And the guy said yes, and then Dan said again, just walk away. And so the guy did walk away, and so we continued to use that. So that was just an example I gave. Okay, back to my my outline here that I'll stay to, otherwise the whole program will be dedicated to Dan.
Sounds like that might be useful.
Yeah.
I wish I had known him.
Oh,
that sounds
great.
So fun-loving
just
and life.
Walk away. I've said that to all sorts of friends. Just walk away. And they get the point. As many of you know, in Israel, there's a town in the northern part of the country called Dan. It's way up on the Lebanese-Syrian border.
Right.
Needless to say, dozens of pictures over the year have been taken of Dan standing proudly next to the sign called City of Dan.
That's great.
Genesis chapter 30, verse 6 says, then Rachel said, God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son. Because of this, she named him Dan.
Oh.
And then I continued, I'm so glad Dan White knew God and was known by God who vindicated him, introducing Dan to Jesus, and he heard Dan's plea and desire to walk in the ways of the Lord. Deuteronomy 33:22 says, about Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's cub springing out of Bashan. And then I commented on that verse. Dan is no longer springing here on earth, but thank God he is in a much better place, healed, healthy, and in the presence of the Lord, enjoying the eternal reward promised to him as he leaned into Jesus and followed him throughout his life. Dan loved his wife Cindy and his boys and his grandkids. And then I said, may we learn from Dan's life and Cindy's ongoing example to trust and hold on to Jesus for strength during these times. So thank you, God, for Dan White, for his legacy, for his passion for you, for his desire to finish well. Thank you, God, for the ongoing testimony of Cindy, who's rock solid, loves the Lord, knows Dan's
Praise
in a
God.
Better place, and is content in that, though there's sorrow and heartache and obviously this period of grieving. She's content in knowing that Dan is with God. She'll see him again, as you have mentioned. That's one of those exciting things about following Jesus. We get to see these loved ones. So.
I know. People we love. And and knew here and those we didn't, and we get to meet.
Amen. Amen. Let's dig into your book,
because
I think we might
time?
Have some of these other things we might have to mention later this week or on
whatever
the Wednesday
you
edition
do.
Of Margaret. I want to hear some more
All
from
right.
your book, and we can dedicate this reading. Now, you didn't know that I was going to share this about Dan.
Okay. Just as a real quick little background, when some 54 some years ago on our mission station in what was Rhodesia, I mentioned previously in the book about the rains when they came. And prior to the rains coming, it was a very long, dry 6 months of not a drop of water. Mm. So unlike here, where if clouds come, it's going to rain that day or the next day, these clouds would build up for days on end into a massive thing like you can't imagine on the horizon. Mm. And then they would let loose in a torrential downpour. Mm. So that's what this is about.
Okay.
Chapter 19. It's called Crocodiles. I remember exactly where I was sitting at the little Merrimack-style table in our doctor's very small house when the first heavy raindrops hit the ground one rainy season, a rainy season that erupted much earlier than expected. Through the window, I could see the sky turning a deep gray around the huge clouds that had amassed. Except for some of the medical staff at the hospital, it seemed nearly everyone from the mission station was packed into that room. But we had a problem, and everyone knew it was just about to get worse. Five of the women from our station, including my mother and a couple of the nurses, had gone into town in our old Peugeot the day before to get some supplies. The plan had been for them to gather what they needed and make the long trip back the next day. The rains had seemed a number of days off still. We had been sure the women would beat them based on our experience of watching the clouds. However, we were wrong. And the drops of rain currently hitting the window by my side at that little table proved it. Every minute now counted. I watched as two Land Rovers pulled up outside the house. People hurriedly put on hats, and rain gear and equipment were stuffed into the back. Containers of gasoline were loaded in. We always carried our own gasoline with us wherever we went, for refueling purposes, as there were no fueling stations for many long miles. When the government of Rhodesia declared its independence from Great Britain, sanctions were imposed and gasoline was rationed, crippling our travel, and making it even more complicated for us to have enough to get around. "We have to go meet them at the Turgway," had been the verdict, reached less than half an hour before, in the doctor's little living room, as the first drops hit. "They will never get across." We knew what was coming. The torrential downpour, clearly on its way, would flood every river in the vicinity, and my mother and the others would be stranded. The men wanted to get to the large Turgway River first, and set up what they needed to guide, push, or pull the car across the river. It was very important that the women not attempt that crossing without something on the car with the river so high. More than one mission car had floated off downriver. The men were so focused on the task at hand that they said yes without much thought to us children riding in the back of the Land Rovers along with the equipment. So, of course, we piled in. The rain grew stronger as we drove, and the Turgway was flooding by the time we arrived. We climbed out of the Land Rovers, and the men began immediately preparing in anticipation of the Peugeot arriving on the other side. Our Land Rovers had a winch, a steel cable, attached to a roller motor on the front. Someone could wade or swim through a river and attach the hook at the end of the cable to a strong tree, then start the roller motor and pull the Land Rover through the water to the tree. In this case, the men were going to attach the cable to the Peugeot and pull it toward the Land Rover on the bank. No one was paying much attention to the children. It's not like we were really going anywhere, and we were a group of seven, so we certainly weren't going to get lost. We were already wet and relishing the sense of the water after so much dryness. The river looked deeply inviting. We dove in and swam or waded out to the middle. It was sheer exhilaration. We had been told 100 times not to get in the rivers or any standing water. We knew we were doing the wrong thing to enter that water. I myself had been given an hour-long personal lecture on the scientific dangers of parasites by our mission doctor after he returned from a tiring day at the hospital late one afternoon. After finding me playing in standing water near the place where we made our bricks for the station, my parents had already done what they could think of to straighten me out. Hence, the hour-long doctor's discussion was supposedly another effort to pound sense into my risky thinking. The Peugeot soon drove up and stopped on the other side of the bank. The men were waving at them from our side, but the women jumped out of the car all at once and in a frenzy. "Get those kids out of the water!" It seemed like they all yelled it at once. The men turned and looked at us, seemingly in unison, as though seeing us for the first time. They were all concerned, and rightly so, that the water carried Bilharzia parasites, for which there was no medication at that time, or that it carried one of the many parasites that caused river blindness or a host of other diseases. But the river also carried another, more immediate and worse danger, one they hadn't known about. While we were unashamedly laughing off their concerns, yet knowing at some point we would indeed be forced out of the water and in trouble yet again, my foot slipped. Then it slipped again into a long yet shallow, highly defined groove, and then another one. My friend beside me, a very bush-savvy young boy, turned to me, a suddenly strange look in his eyes. "This river is filled with crocodiles." I stared at him and knew he was telling the truth. He, too, had just slipped in their grooves. His sharp eyes were scanning the river, the bank, everywhere, and he knew what was lurking in the dark reaches of the water, underneath and unseen. "We have to get out now." The refreshing rain falling on the river, the glint of the rushing water, the fun of swimming, none of it mattered from that moment on. What mattered was the fact. The fact that in the murky darkness of the bottom of the riverbed, right where I was standing, silent, lethal killers were waiting. Waiting for just the right moment, with every intent to kill. Crocodiles. The walk back through the rushing river was very different from the excited, fun-filled walk out. No more eager splashing in the water, laughter, or seeing if we could find where the water was chin-deep from the mix of falling rain and the gushes of water running down the grooves on the bank slopes. I had gotten far out into the river, in the very middle, and it was swelling by the moment. Gingerly, in fear, every time my foot landed on the bottom and slid downward, I made my way back to the bank, in fear, and now in truth. Back through the river as it really was, a Bilharzia parasite-infested place full of crocodiles. I will never forget that walk back. Temptation is like that. It looks all glorious at the beginning. Only occasionally does it present its true face. Instead, we're caught up in its lies. The person, who is not our spouse, seems so understanding and sees the real us, as we want to be thought of. Until, strangely, we begin to have trouble with them, too. The drug really does help us study, at first. The alcohol actually does make the room seem brighter and our conversation wittier, until we can't think like we used to. The stolen money does buy the clothes and the jewelry that people compliment us for, until the day they see our name in the paper for theft. Temptation's wages are brutal. Destroyed families, children who no longer can respect their father or mother, financial ruin, smeared reputations, loss of self-esteem, just like the devouring crocodiles, which kill on one strike. The Bible says that when we're faced with temptation, God will provide a way of escape, 1 Corinthians 10:13. For me, that escape boils down to one phrase that I always remember: get out of the river. Sometimes the thing that has gotten me into the most trouble is when I know I'm being tempted. I know I'm toying with the wrong path, and yet I keep on toying when the best possible thing to do is to simply get out of the river, to completely remove myself from the sources of temptation just as fast as I can. It can be a long, slow walk back. Sometimes we get so far out into the joyous river of our temptation that it is a terrifying walk back to the bank, because in our effort to get back to shore, we're still in the river, going in the right direction now, perhaps, but still working to get ourselves back out of the water. This river is filled with crocodiles. That statement takes me back to the horrendous feeling of knowing crocodiles could be swirling around in the water, coming up from behind at any minute, hungry, desirous of bringing me down to a watery death. Because crocodiles eat people, and so can temptations when we do not run. Father, help me to always get out of the rivers of my temptations. Help me to know quickly when there are crocodiles in the river of temptation, no matter how invigorating and enjoyable the river might look. Give me the strength to always turn back around, no matter how far out I've gone, and make my way safely back to shore. Please keep me safe.
And all of God's people said, I'm sure this message was for many of you. It's a message for me, probably a message that brings thoughts to your mind, Marianne,
sure,
after these many years. Wow, that was a special reading by Marianne Offenstein from her book, Memories of an African Son. And I'm going to have you come back tomorrow. We're going to put our Wellness Tuesday hold, and we're going to cover some of those topics, because everyone's like, wait a minute, I want to know about that Ivan Parker concert.
I know.
What about the 2020 challenge, and what's going on with these other things? And so
we didn't cross off a single
So join us tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And if you want to purchase copies of this Memories of an African Son, we have them here at the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square. They're $15 and can be picked up right here at Lincoln Square. We're open from 10 to 5 p.m. Stop by and we'll give you a Tootsie Roll Bank also.
Oh, yes, we will. We will get that one thing from
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Offenstein with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.